Hey, Pastor, have you ever gotten to your office on a Monday and revised your resume? Have you ever browsed the job ads at ministryjobs.com and found yourself envisioning your life at that large church in Florida? Do you find yourself sometimes dreaming about just stacking lumber at Home Depot? Leadership doesn't have to be that way, and I want to walk you down the pathway to healthy, vibrant leadership, taking your Monday into an eager, energized, and abundant lifestyle. My name is Kevin, veteran pastor with nearly 20 years of full-time ministry and leadership experience. I've walked through the tensions of trauma and drama that can come as a minefield of stress and anxiety to every pastor. Together, we're going to learn the simplicity of leadership that breathes life to you rather than consume everything from you, in simple strategic steps leading you to clarity, creativity, and a little bit of cash flow. Growth is possible, and it's inside your reach. Now, grab your notebook and let's dig into it. Hey, Pastor, have you ever felt like your church is stuck? Like no matter what you try, your congregation just isn't engaging the way that you know they could. What if I told you there was a way to reignite that fire, inspire your people, and make more disciples than ever before? I am thrilled to invite you to the Make More Disciples Challenge, a five-day experience designed to help you break your church out of its indifference coma. Over five powerful lessons, I'll give you the tools you need to discover what's holding your church back, reignite that passion in your members, and build a culture of discipleship that changes lives. This is more than a challenge. It's a step toward transforming your church into a vibrant, mission-driven community. The Make More Disciples Challenge starts soon, so don't wait. Head over to my website, pastorsthriving.com, sign up today, and join me for this life-changing journey. Now, let's get back to our regularly scheduled podcast. Hey, Pastor. Welcome to my show. Thanks so much for being here with me today. I pray you're well blessed and encouraged as you fight this battle. Whatever time of the year you're listening to this, we're recording this in mid-December. You won't hear it till the beginning of January. But I want to introduce you to my friend April. April Metzler is the founder of Intentionally Teachable Leaders, LLC, a leadership strategist, speaker, and host of the RSVP show. She empowers business, ministry, and community leaders to lead with purpose, clarity, and strategy through her signature frameworks, Focus, Raise, and Strategy. Known for fostering unity and collaboration, April equips leaders to evaluate their impact and leave a lasting legacy. Her work also supports a global community building initiatives through Kingdom Industries United, Incorporated, her faith-based nonprofit. April, welcome to my show today. Thanks for being a part of this. And tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you're up to, all those good things.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. And of course, I'm coming in from Oklahoma in the center of the nation. So we have all sorts of kinds of stuff going on right now in December, but we are excited, of course, for this weather. Not too much snow, no blizzards, nothing going on here. And I don't know what it's going to look like in January. There was one time that
you never know with Oklahoma, man.
Yeah. We had a full blizzard that hit Oklahoma on my daughter's birthday party one year. So you just never know. And it's in March. So
I love it.
Well, so I do a lot of different things. I am a hat wearer many times over, but my nonprofit is serving faith-based leaders, and we are focused on bringing the body of believers together one connection at a time in all that we do. And so we're really focused on connection, community, collaboration, and just serving leaders where they are at. Doesn't matter what they have need of. We try to be there in the capacity that we can. So we're looking to support them. We're looking to be an encouragement. Sometimes we just pray for them. And then other times we connect them with the resources and tools and other connections in the body that they need in the time that they are in, whatever that looks like. So obviously it's a very customized, unique conversation every single time. And so that's why our focus is one connection at a time, because each person has value and worth, and they're not alone. And if we can communicate that to them in some way, shape, or form, then we've accomplished our job, whatever that is. And so, that's what we do for the nonprofit. And I am pivoting over to expanding into business, as you mentioned, for the Intentionally Teachable Leaders business. And it's going to be as aligned as I can possibly get it to the nonprofit. So I'm not going over into two different mechanisms. Okay. So it'll be in stride. All of it's going to be kingdom, and we're just going to honor God every step of the way. So, and wow. all we do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's drill into that a little bit so people can get a more, you know, precise view about what this looks like. Who would be your ideal client for this work that you're doing? And what exactly, like, give us a test study for, you know, this person came to me and they needed help with this. What does that look like?
Yeah. So for example, a nonprofit founder comes to me and needs that sound counsel in the department of how to get established as a founder, how to stick to their principles, their core values, and their foundation, and also how to incorporate different fundraising strategies and charitable contributions, things like that, in a way that honors God. And usually there's that layer of it, and then there's the organization layer of it, and the overwhelm factor, and the burnout factor, and the time management factor. And sometimes we get into that zone of procrastination. Okay. And it's exactly why I actually wrote an ebook that I'm developing to just roll out as a free resource and tool for leaders, because those I've talked to hundreds, thousands, maybe. I don't even know. I'm not keeping track of it. We just serve people. But they all have these same pain points that they echo. And so it's going to be very easy for me to pivot into the business side of it, because there's such a need for that. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to addressing pain points, you know, as well as I do, it's just one conversation away. And then we just figure out what the solutions are. Okay. It's literally the epitome of meeting you where you're at and then helping you get past whatever it is that's causing a pause, a stagnation, a hesitation, anything in that vein of pain points that leaders experience. But I've worked with nonprofit founders. I've worked with head honcho CEOs that are literally serving and doing all that they know how to do, but they don't have those like-minded peers around them that just get it. Okay. I've dealt with even managers and that have multiple team members under them that they just want to pull their hair out, and this is crazy, and nobody even understands what it's like to be in a secular industry and actually walk out kingdom. So it's very interesting, and it's hard. It's a battle out there, and if we're not careful, we'll trip up and mess up our testimony. Sure. So those are the people that I usually end up serving. I don't know why. That's just how I operate, but I can help pivot. I can help shift. I can get that perspective in alignment, and then just give them the tools, strategies, and resources that they need to move forward, really, is what it amounts to. So,
okay. All right. So let me define that for just a minute, because I want to make crystal clear so that people know what it is that you're dealing with. So you've listed three things. You said burnout, overwhelm, and procrastination. And then you also list time management. Are those the pain points that you're referring to, or is there something more precise than that?
No, I mean, those are the overarching ones that are evident. They're right in your face every day. And so those are the ones that I end up usually working with mostly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But so So one of the things I know for certain is that in people in these leadership styles, they don't quite know that this is what they're dealing with, like burnout, for example, or procrastination. That's one of my favorite ones right now. They don't necessarily know that that's what they're doing. How does someone know without specifically looking that this is kind of characteristic of what they're up against?
Yeah. So identifiers, you're talking about symptoms, and a lot of people are going to be able to talk in that language. And so if it was someone that was experiencing burnout, you're probably going to hear me say, if this was me, I'll just use me as an example, but I would say, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. This is overwhelming. I'm stressed out. I can't get anybody to help me. Like, I just have so much going on. And the weight of this is just killing me. It's just killing me. I need help. I don't know what kind of help I need, but I need help. And this is ridiculous. I can't do this anymore. You know, like it's those kind of statements of examples, but usually same thing with overwhelm. They all sort of complement one another. Interestingly enough, when it comes to that, usually people are dealing with more than one of those at the same time. So.
Yeah. That is good. Now, as you're interacting with people like this, whether they're coming to you or whether you're just bumping into people with a networking conversation, and what kind of excuses are they offering as to why they don't find help, or why they're saying, you know, I'm fine, it's not as bad as you think it is, those kind of things?
I think that there's a lot. That's a loaded question. Yeah. I have ran into quite a number of things, though. I'll give you a few examples. So I was working with one person one time, and it was this survival instinct that was going on. And it was almost like they had to get it done because no one else was there to do it. And they just needed to push forward. So it was like, oh, goodness. And we digged into it, and I'm not going to go into all of the details, but ultimately It was an old route of thinking that was there, where it was like, it's not okay to not be okay. Admitting that you need help was a big issue. Mm. And if you admitted that you needed help, then obviously you were weak and incapable of doing what you needed to do. And then this survival mechanism kicked into, it was more like a reputation survival ship. I don't know exactly how deep seated and how rooted some of these folks are, but like, that's what ends up happening. And then another one that was interesting was actually dealing with it was like a fight or flight kind of thing. And that was geared toward procrastination. Mm-hmm. And so there was so much pressure added onto that particular person's plate that they would go into these spurts of fighting in the areas that they knew how to handle, but then they were flying away in the mm-hmm. areas that they didn't know how to handle. And so it was a weird balance where they were being productive. However, they weren't actually doing some of the major things that would have contributed to increase of productivity here and more balance across the line, because they were sitting in that procrastination state. And that is tough, you know, and actually addressing why you feel like you are in that fight or flight mechanism, you know, and it's really hard for some people to actually sit with themselves in silence is what I find. And so you have to do that, though. You have to take time and invest that time into yourself before God in order to actually reason that out with him, because there's some stuff, man. There's a lot of stuff that we've got to deal with, and I can list all my stuff, and you have to do it. Like, either that or you're going to stay stuck. So yep. I usually work with people that are intentionally looking to get past those things and that they're teachable, because there's a lot to that undigging and just working through it and getting sure. past it, because you'll just be in that cycle continuously, and it'll just happen over and over and over and over again. And, you know, that's not helpful for anybody, especially not if you have a family or congregation like your audiences do. So
let's talk about procrastination for just a minute, because, man, I love this. And I think that there's far more people who are plagued with the problem of procrastination, and they don't really have any idea. So I guess two kind of questions for this, and I've already asked, how does someone know this? But what are the symptoms of procrastination, and then what do you do about it?
I think everybody really, if you really want to be honest with yourself and you're looking yourself at the mirror, you know, like, you're just eyeballing yourself, you are already aware that you're procrastinating. You have something you need to do. God's already told you what to do, and you're just stalling for whatever reason. But I don't think that you're going to see yourself in action procrastinating if you're not operating in that self-awareness, reflection time. If you're not practicing reflection before the Lord, if you're not seeking him to be still, it's just going to be difficult to actually do that. So my main thing in addressing that is really just giving them keys to figure that out for themselves and equipping them to realize, because if they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, they're not going to be able to get out of that. But it's really just sitting with someone for the time to hear what they have to say, and letting them unfold that. But God does that for us as well. And he mm-hmm. can sit with you all day long if you give him that time. And then there's also phenomenal resources like sound counselors that are out there and available for you to have a space that you can be heard. So it just really depends. But I really think that if you are stuck and you're not moving forward, that would be the easiest way to probably at least consider, hey, God, am I procrastinating in this? And help me to see why. You know, it's just really a conversation away, like I said before, whether it's with God, whether it's with someone like me, or whether it's like you're scheduling an appointment with the counselor that is awesome and biblically based and able to lead you through that on a scriptural basis.
So. Sure. So let's drill into this just a little bit deeper, because I really want people to understand how pervasive this can be. You know, when I was at the height, part of my story is that I was wrecked into a system, a cycle of fear that I didn't see. I didn't even know it. And I didn't recognize that until I had invited a coach / counselor to be a part of my story. And in that 2-year journey, I finally was beginning to become aware of some of the things or my systems or my cycles that were keeping me trapped. I didn't realize I was stuck until someone else was telling me, hey, you're stuck right here. This is a problem for you. And it was interesting because I was a pastor. I was praying all the time. I was interacting with people. I was preaching, investigating, studying the Word of God. But until someone else came alongside of me and kind of activated a voice of the Spirit that I was not privy to, I didn't realize that procrastination was a problem for me. Let's talk for just a minute about what kind of things people procrastinate on so that they can become aware and say, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. What kind of things do you see people actually delaying or avoiding or ignoring that they need to be confronting and really controlling in their lives?
Well, that's a big loaded question too. I love this interview. It's phenomenal. I think that one of the biggest things that people procrastinate on is actually balancing their priorities.
Okay.
They will not set that time aside to really truly see what they're committing their time to and how that reflects God's order of things. So as a pastor, that's important, right? You want to honor God. You want to honor your spouse. If you're married, you want to honor your children. And I believe that if you don't set that time aside to really just, hey, see where your hours of time investment are. You know, John Maxwell said that he does that at the end of every year, the very last week of the year. And he actually comes from a pastoral background before he pivoted into leadership coaching. But one thing he said, and I actually just had this shared with me on an interview he was doing today, actually, funny enough. But he was talking about how he goes through his entire calendar and he reviews every single day and who he spends his time with and what he spends his time doing. Mm-hmm. So, and then he differentiated between spending time and investing time. And then really just totaling that out for the year. I mean, like, have you ever done that? And what does that look like? What have you committed yourself to in 2024, 2023, 2022? Like, when's the last time you even looked at that to evaluate what that looks like? And then really just assessing that up against what God says we are to honor. And so it's, if you find out at the end of the year that you've only committed maybe 20 hours to God, like, we need to reassess. You know, you've only committed, you know, I don't know, let's say 52 weeks, and you only actually got to see your family, you know, maybe 3 hours each week. Like, let's do the math based upon the entirety of the year's hours that were allocated to you and entrusted to you to steward well. You know, like, let's really drill down on that. And so what I find is that people don't take that time to set aside and evaluate their time. And then as far as that is concerned, then of course you put that off, right? You procrastinate that because it's not an easy task. John's investing a week. He's doing it this year coming up here pretty quick, he said. So that's a week of your time, but you're worth it. You're worth that. And so is your family. And definitely so is God. And so is the people that he entrusted you to influence and lead. So
I love that. You know, in my experience, procrastination is directly connected to the fears that we have. And mm-hmm. I think the other element to this is taking, intentionality. Let's use the word intentionality here. Being intentional about discovering what it is that you're afraid of. For example, let me do a case in point here. I discovered about 3 or 4 years ago that I was really kind of wrecked with a fear of poverty. And so everything in my mind swirled around avoiding financial questions or financial issues. It's not that we were broke. In fact, we were very well off. We were doing fine. But everything was threatening a decision towards my fear of poverty. And so what would I do? I would procrastinate on financial obligations, budgeting, simple budgeting. I was avoiding because I knew that was confronting that fear. It was touching on that fear. And so I'd avoid it like the plague. And so let's ask, why is procrastination a problem? In your experience and the things that you've done or the people that you've interacted with, why is this something that isn't resolved and handled and in our past? Why is it something that we still have to deal with?
Well, you hit on it right there. I mean, there is a root of all the things that we choose to do. And you know, I'm hitting my mic, sorry. You know this as well as I do. When it comes to unrooting, diagnosing, addressing, identifying, any of it, if you are going to work through something, you have to look at what's the driving force behind it. And you were able to see that it's fear. Well, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, you know? And so what does that actually look like? Well, it says that he gave us a sound mind. So, okay, is our mind sound right now? Like, let's be candid with ourselves. Let's be real. What does that look like? Are we leaning into the mind of Christ? Okay, well, if we are, that means that we are seeking his face first. You know, we are leaning into that and looking at his righteousness in a matter, and at what kingdom is in this moment here. And then all these other things are added unto us. But like, it's going back to what the driving force behind it is. So it's either going to be the world, it's going to be, you know, God, or it's going to be some type of spiritual warfare that's going on in the background that we don't even know until we actually turn and look and see what's going on. Like, we have to invest that time to evaluate that and assess the situation. It's like any type of military strategy. You know, I've got brothers and cousins and family members that have been in the military, and you're talking about situational awareness, you know, like what does that even look like? Because if you're avoiding, that's a symptom. If you're putting things off, that's a symptom. There's something else going on. And if there's something that's stopping, just keep it simple. If there's something that's stopping forward movement of action, taking action on anything, there's an assessment that needs to go on, and we just got to sit there and figure it out. Like, it's either that, or you're just going to keep on repeating the cycles. And then at the end of 2025 and 2026 and 2030, you're going to be in the same place that you are. And I don't think anybody really wants that when it comes to leading others. If you are a leader, one who goes first, as Noah Webster defines it, then if you're trying to go first, you can't do that if you're not moving. And something is blocking it, and it's your responsibility, unless you want to do a disservice to those who are in your sphere, your environments, your communities. Like, it's your responsibility to assess that and identify and get before the Lord. Like, it just is what it is. Either that, or you just, whatever you're doing, it'll be limited.
Yeah.
And those you serve. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Hopefully that answers.
Now, this is powerful stuff, and I like the fact that it's raw and authentic like this, because people need to hear these kinds of things. Let me ask you, let's change gears, shift directions for just a minute. You know, from your perspective and with the people that you've been working with, knowing what they think and how they process, what kind of word of encouragement would you have for a person that is struggling and wrestling through some of these things?
Just one?
I know, right?
There's so many. That's one of the things that I would encourage, is to connect with other leaders in the body of believers. And so if you don't have sound counsel, I would encourage you. And of course, my take on encouragement's a little bit different. I can give you all of the feel-good statements you want, but that's not going to help. I give you keys and strategies and solutions to encourage you. It says, consider how we can spur one another on to the love and good works that we're called to. not discounting the fellowship. Well, fellowship is not just within the church walls. It's your cousin that is like sharpening you all of the time, holding you accountable to the word of God. Like it's the guy that's down at the grocery store that's sitting there telling you, hey man, you know, God bless you, and always has a smile on his face. And then you actually engage him in conversation and find out that he's probably a little bit smarter than you in the word of God. And he's got some wisdom to share. And he's the guy that you go and make sure you check out with every time you get your vegetables. You know, like it's that kind of seeking out to get connected to those that will spur you on. And that would be my encouragement, is to find those people and identify them and make sure that they are there and available in your space, especially when you have difficulties, when you're avoiding things, when you're struggling with stuff. Because if you don't have someone to speak truth into your life, then find it, because you are going to be trying to just always tread water, always stay, get your head above it. And that's it. Like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be helping one another and figuring out how we can do this thing together, because you're not alone. That's another, actually, that would be a feel good, but it's a truth. You are not alone. God is always with you. And so are those, just like Paul said, he says that I may not be with you in body, but I am there with you in spirit. And so you're not Elijah. You're not out here running away and like freaking out and doing this, woe is me, I'm the only one left. He said, right. No, I've got multiple ones set apart. Just calm yourself. Sit your hips down, is what a friend of mine says. Sit your hips down. Get refreshed. Get restored. Yeah. And allow me to minister to you the truth. So
that's good. You know, I agree with you, and I would echo that statement as far as like, you know, collaboration. I see that word several times throughout your bio and some of the other stuff that you've kind of submitted to me. But I think there's nothing more important than or powerful as that idea of collaboration. And to be honest with you, I feel like this is one of those angles or areas where our adversary seeks to kind of disrupt our flow, because he's telling you, hey, you don't have time for that. You are already busy as you need to be. And knowing that when collaboration happens, there's that mastermind principle that goes into effect, and you actually have a whole lot more power and wisdom than you know what to do with at that point. Where does someone go to find a good, healthy community where they are safe and where they can be vulnerable and they can be real and authentic? How do they find that?
Well, I'm trying to build one, so there's that. But when it comes to trying to find one in a local context, it takes some work. You know, not many places are out there that offer what you're talking about. And that's literally one of the key reasons that we started the nonprofit.
Okay.
It's if it's not there, create it. You know, God is our creator, and he inspires us to create and bring things out that don't exist. And I've seen that as a major pain point. Yes, you can probably find groups that you can connect with that are believers, but are they the ones that you need? I don't know. But that's what we're going to try to do, is actually build out in 2025 connection points. So not only are we creating the space, but I'm looking, and this is a call to action. Like, I'm looking for people that are willing to collaborate and provide those spaces. So I know that there's like a group that I came across, and I don't know if I can name drop here or not. Is it okay?
Sure.
There's one for leaders called, I think it's Faithpreneurs. But I came across them just recently, and there's another one, an organization that was doing events and offering services back before COVID, and I haven't seen a lot of traction on their stuff, but it was called Catalyst Leaders. You know, there's different organizations doing different things, and that is actually speaking to the core of the pain point, actually. Everybody's busy digging their own trenches, and they do not pause and they do not look around to see who's similarly aligned with them so that they could expand the impact of what they're doing. And so if you would just pause and look around, and so I'm doing that for people right now. I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to continue to do it in 2025 and onward, as God willing allows me the space to do. But the same thing for pastors specifically. If you have 100 different churches in your community, why haven't you knocked on the door of every single 99 others to see what they're doing and how you can work together? One of the things I loved about what you said is about the thief being a thief, basically. And it's so funny because I've had local churches in this area say the reason they don't want to collaborate with another church is they're too afraid that their youth program is going to be stolen, that their congregation's going to be stolen. Isn't that ironic? The thief is intentionally stealing the opportunity for unity in the body of believers.
Yeah.
And yet he uses the fear of theft as his tool of destruction. It's so interesting to me.
It is. I think that, you know, I preached a sermon series years ago on the book of Revelation. It was probably the most powerful thing I'd ever experienced inside the church I led. And one of the things I said in that series was, you know, we're all sitting here looking for this 10-headed beast that's coming out of the ocean. And that's not what he's going to appear like. He's going to appear just as you described him, like a lie, trying to get you to believe something so that you won't take action on something you know to do. It's as simple as that. It is so very simple, and yet we play into that hand each and every time. I tell you what, what really stems to that, April, is a mentality of scarcity. When we operate under a mentality of scarcity or lack, our God is the exact opposite of lack and scarcity. He's an abundant, overwhelming God. I mean, what is the psalm that says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? There's no emptiness. There's no scarcity. There's no lack when it comes to a connection with God. And we have to believe in that. We have to know and understand that he's coming to build his entire kingdom, not just one particular church or ministry. And so I think you have to, at that point, kind of ask yourself the question, why am I worried? Why am I afraid that I might lose out on something because of a collaborative moment or a good, healthy connection? Why is that the reason that I'm worried about this or don't take action on it or something like that?
Yeah. And I think if you don't consider that, then it's just going to be like we were saying earlier, just a repeated cycle and nothing is going to change. Do you like the world the way it is right now? Do you like the fact that churches don't work together? You know, it's do you like the fact that businesses don't work together? You know, what about that resonates with you that you can find in the Bible? Like, where is that in the Bible? Where does it say verse such and such and chapter such and such don't work together?
Right.
Where does it say that? Like, it's just very baffling.
Yeah, it's just not there.
If we actually submit it all, are we in alignment? You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. This is a very interesting conversation, brother.
Yeah, for sure. It's good. Well, April, tell us, you got a few ways that you've got a whole list of different ways that people can connect with you. You've got your own website, aprilmetzler.com, your nonprofit,
Kingdom Industries United.
Kingdom Industries. I'm reading this wrong. KingdomIndustriesUnited.com. You got a Facebook page, facebook.com/Kingdom Industries United. And intentionally teachable.com. You're just all over the place. Obviously, we're going to have all these in the show notes, so you can just go click a link and get it there. Why don't you tell us about your ebook, your little giveaway that you've got that we're going to attach to this?
Yeah, so all it is coming at it from a kingdom perspective. So we are all available to be intentional and teachable. And so I literally named the business who I want to hang out with. I kept it simple, intentionally teachable leaders. And so I literally titled the ebook the same thing, intentionally teachable leadership blueprint. And so I am going to, again, God willing, I would like to invest time in expanding this. But for now, it's focused on time management, procrastination, overwhelm, and burnout. And so I'm literally giving people keys and strategies and looking at it from a perspective of being a servant leader and yielding throughout that entire book. But if you are not focused on kingdom, or you have a brother or sister that's just not really ready to dive into that, you can pass this on to them as well, because ultimately the strategies in there, like the Pomodoro technique and, you know, the SMART goals, you know, those things are just core principles of just getting you organized and building out a way that you can steward your time well and that you can get over these things that are making you stagnant and not moving forward. So they're all practical skills. They're all strategies that I know that work, and they can work for just about anybody, but perfect. The layer of kingdom is in there. So
I love that. That is good. Thanks for putting that together. And we'll make sure that that is in the show notes. So if you are interested in grabbing that free resource for you, you can grab that link and download that resource. It'll be awesome. April, thank you so much for being a part of this today. Thanks for kind of downloading some really cool wisdom and some perspective on what you've experienced along the way to be a help to these pastors and what they're facing and what they're fighting. I really appreciate your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a blessing. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for tuning in today to Pastors Thriving Podcast. If you found today's episode helpful, I'd love for you to just take a minute and leave a review and maybe a few stars on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback really helps me to grow this community and to reach even more pastors just like you. And listen, if you're ready to take the next step, check out one of my upcoming courses designed to help you thrive in ministry and life. For more details or to connect directly with me, you can send me an email at coaching@kevinelworth.live or visit my website, pastorsthriving.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.